That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I've been doing a lot more weights at the gym. Usually I just take my classes.
You getting pumped up?
I've been trying to do more weights, yeah. And yep. I've been on the floor, and I haven't been on the floor in a while. And it's amazing when you put your hat down low and you get on the treadmill and you just look around and observe the things that you see.
Right. You're kind of like a private eye at that point. It's a stakeout. Nobody's really looking at you. You're looking at everything.
If you kiss your biceps in between every arm curl, that is all I need to know about you.
Oh,
I did a double take. This guy, he was semi-jacked.
Between every curl?
It was like
it's not even a set. Like,
right, no.
Just one.
He was lifting heavy. I'll give him that.
Okay.
And he looked pretty jacked.
Right.
But, okay, so he had the weights in his hands, and he was very discreet. He was front of the mirror. He's on the bench. And he would do the arm curl, but his face was, like, kind of crunched aside.
Yeah.
And I noticed that every time that he would get all the way up, he would hold it.
Yeah.
But he would put his mouth on it. And then slowly... And I was like, no.
I want to think that he was like smelling the pit indiscreetly or whatever, but you saw it
biceps.
He did it every time.
Oh, yeah. I was on that treadmill for 30 minutes.
So you saw, and he
Full set.
Every
three sets.
And it's slow hold. And then maybe that's how he works out the timing, right? Like you need the cadence of it. Like, you know, they left when they're marching. It's the same kind of thing.
Kiss on it. He was like, you got to hold it.
Right.
And then he's like, first
and
you got to
give it a kiss.
And then I release.
Right.
Or he's just really into his biceps. Can you imagine?
Did he know that you were watching? Did he put on a private show for you?
He did. No.
Because I would have fun with something like that.
The place is completely packed.
Oh, so it's not just you.
No!
I mean, even if he was trying to amuse somebody that was watching from across the room, the whole building is getting the full thing.
Yeah, there's a couple of my favorite people at the gym. That's all I need to know about. There's the guy that kisses the biceps. Certainly my favorite of all time.
I mean, that's a new one for me.
There's the guy that does like the handstands and the wacky poses, like, you know, over the stretch area.
Oh, you look all over and he's just leaning against the wall.
No, he's upside down.
Yeah.
He's like, he's doing push-ups on his hands in a handstand position.
Right.
Like, do that at home. It's weird here. I don't know. Maybe I'm being judgmental.
It sounds a little bit.
But, I mean, it's like you're showing off at that point. That's all I need to know about you.
I mean, I just want, you know what? If you had the arms of this guy or if you were walking around on your hands, maybe you'd feel better about yourself. I'm just saying. If the rainy conditions out there outside don't actually cause you to slow down at all, the hydroplaning itself just makes you really imagine yourself kind of like on a water skiing vacation adventure.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to know about you.
Mm.
I don't slow down for rain, and I don't have much respect that people that slow down for rain. Not in this part of the country.
Oh,
anyways.
I don't like it.
You've seen rain before.
You have
a 3-ton SUV. Just barrel through that rain.
Yeah, but you can hydroplane and lose control of your car. I've seen that.
You know what? It's really just kind of a fun adventure when you're going around turns at 80 miles per hour on the way in.
When you say things like that, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
The only thing I need to know about you when you're in the gym, I've been working out 35 years, and for me it's all about technique. When you see those clowns put tons of plates on the bar, lift it 3 inches and think they're the Hulk. That's all I need to know about.
100%. 100%.
If the bar ain't bending, you're just pretending, pal. Right. I'm not against a good bicep kiss, though, every once in a while.
Oh, come on. That guy looks ridiculous. That guy's ridiculous kissing his biceps all the way. Get to that curl. Go. Get out of here with that.
I'm convinced it was about the timing.
I don't know how I feel about this.
What's up?
Santa and Raven. So Amazon opened its first cashierless grocery store in Seattle this past Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the whole reasoning behind it.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go?
But yeah,
it would look like
larceny.
Right, like shoplifting. That's what it would look like.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Wait a minute.
What? That's what you were wondering at Amazon?
People hate interaction with other humans so bad at this point now that it's anything to get away from a cash register, I guess, right? Like, we're going to let you steal everything as long as you pay your Prime membership.
First, you have the self-checkout. Now they're like, forget the self-checkout.
Right. That's too much. That's too cumbersome.
Yeah. So how does it work? You walk into this cashierless grocery store. How does it work?
Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping. Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart.
It literally just charges you. You go in, you bring your own bags, right? Because we all got to bring our own bags now. It's the future.
Right.
And you scan your app when you go in, and then you just shop like you would normally shop, and you put it inside this bag. So how does this magic happen that they know what you get?
We used computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, much like you'd find in self-driving cars. We call it Just Walk Out Technology.
That's a lot of science to just put it behind a flimsy name like that. But
right.
So wait a minute. They're scanning the bananas, let's say. They're scanning the apples. And then when I pick one up, they magically know that?
Yes.
Because aren't they radiation? Aren't they putting some radiation on my apples if they're scanning it that much?
I'm so fascinated by this that I did a bunch of research. And it's basically just
you became
like
a grocery store scientist?
Well, a cashierless scientist is what I became. And it's like sensors all over the place. They're above you. They're on the racks. So if you take a cupcake, right?
Yeah.
And then you change your mind and you put the cupcake
back.
Then you don't get charged for it.
Right.
It's basically magic, is what Amazon has figured out.
It sounds like an MRI inside a grocery store. And everybody else is getting it at the same time. Like if you were paranoid about cell phones or Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or something like that, this is the place that you go to end. Like, this is the end of your adventure happens at this grocery store. Because if you were afraid of microwaves, thinking that it was putting something in your food in the 60s or 70s, now this is the place where it's going all in your body.
And your brain, directly into your brain.
Is there a microchip in the banana?
And all the thing I kept wondering is, like, you know, you go to a grocery store and you get, like, a pound of bananas or whatever it is. And it's 59 cents a pound. I go, well, how do they do that? There's no scales. There's nothing like that.
Right.
And it's charged by piece. So they're all individual. They're individual bananas, individual apples, and every single one is just counted as one. Which I'm like, well, what if you get like a smaller cantaloupe or like a bigger bunch of grapes?
Right, right.
And is it by each individual grape? Are there a nickel each? How does that work?
My wife squeezes every grape on the vine before she puts it in
the bag. I don't want to be the one
after
she touches it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What do they do with that? I mean, am I going to get a charge? But what if the computer's on the fritz that day and I get charged for every single grape that she squeezes?
There's already people out there that are trying to like get around this. And one guy tricked the system by going into the bathroom and changing his jacket.
Good.
And they couldn't figure out who he was.
Well, I hope he washed his hands for the rest of our sake.
Should you be allowed to give away your extra vacation days or sick days to your coworkers? And how about bonus points if you're a student and you already have a straight A's? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. What happened is a history teacher posted a picture on Facebook that one of her 11th grade straight A students have offered up his 5 extra bonus points from his exam to any student in the class that had the lowest score.
So wait a minute. He would take his 100 and make it a 95 and then give somebody else 5 points?
Yeah,
exactly. If you get 100, you get 5 bonus and he's like, let me give them off.
He got a 99.
Okay.
And he offered
pretty good grade, kid.
He offered 5 of those points to any of the students in the class that had the lowest score. Turns out another student got a 58. Those extra 5 points made a passing grade. So it made a difference. Now, there's been a lot of debate online whether the teacher gave it. They said, gave him the 94, took the 5 points, gave it to that kid. That kid passed.
Sure.
Now, there's been a lot of debate on whether or not that's right or not. Should you be allowed to do it? But, the adult version of that is, should you be able to give away your sick days, your vacation days at work?
Or your bonus or your commitment, anything like that.
Right.
I have to say, I think that if you earn it, obviously, then it's yours to give. Like, this is that slippery slope, right? So, like, if you've got, like, vacation days that you don't take, you know, we've had that conversation countless times, is that so many people don't actually even take their days. So if you have these extra days and you want to give them to somebody.
Give them to me.
Well, stop with the greed. But, right, I mean, I think you should be able to do it, especially if you can't roll them over. This happens sometimes, too, when people are dealing with, like, if they got to become a caregiver for somebody in the family or, you know, they've got some sort of hardship that's going to take a certain amount of time that, you know, people can donate their hours. I think it's fine. I mean, obviously, you can't have the same kid get 5 points from 3 kids in the class the rest of his high school career to pass the grade. But if one time the smartest kid in the class gives the kid who had the toughest time with the test 5 points, I'm not against that.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. I think that you study and you get your own grades.
Of course.
And if somebody giving you points isn't going to do much, it's like that. It's like when you had to do group work and that one person that did all the work and they did all the presentation and then the slacker ended up getting that A too. It's not fair.
But you went to college. What about grading on a curve? Wouldn't that play into it?
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What do you think? Just like vacation days, work days, should you be able to give away these bonus points? A straight A student had offered up 5 of his bonus points to whoever got the lowest score in his class, and the teacher did it, and it was the difference between a fail and a pass grade for that student. 1-800-330-9999. We're trying to figure out, is that okay? Because you can donate vacation days at work. You could donate your sick days. Mm. Is it worth it? Well, hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I think it's a lovely gesture, but I agree with you, Anna, that you study for tests, you do the best you can. If someone gets a 90, you get a 60 or 58, you take responsibility for what you did, whether it's you did great on the test or you didn't study enough. And I don't think it teaches them a good value.
Yeah, it's very similar in the fact that, like, I got an 880 on my SATs. I didn't get into my 2 top colleges because I could not do well on my SATs.
I know you did not serve in the military, all right? All right, I know you didn't go to boot camp, but maybe you've seen it on TV. There's this thing where they climb over this wall.
Right.
And you know what? The leader is the person that puts their arm back and reaches back for the other guy or girl and helps pull them over that last
rung. If somebody would have given me 200 extra points on the SATs, would that have been good for me? No, I probably wasn't at the caliber that I needed to be at to get into those schools.
What if you were under live fire while you were doing the SATs, all right? And then somebody offered a hand.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about this?
Hi, good morning. I say that as long as the company okays it, then it's okay to give the 6 days personal days. But as far as the grade, absolutely not. You didn't deserve it because you didn't earn it.
I think there's a clear divide. Mm. Thank you
for the call.
It's hard to say, like, oh, you got to differentiate children to adults. But you do. It's a big difference.
But coaches are trained to get the best out of their team. You don't form the team to fit your plan, right? If you're a great coach, you have to take the strengths that people have and play to those strengths. That's how you get something big done. This guy was being a team player, I say.
Anna and Raven, what do you think about this?
When you're at work, your days off or your vacation time basically are given to you by contract, as opposed to when you're at school, you're earning your grades based on what you studied, and your grades reveal what you know. So 85% on a test says you know 85% of the questions asked.
And that's the end of it. It's different from vacation days.
Different.
Anna and Raven, what do you think?
I think as far as the kids are concerned and the class and the test, I think it's okay. Number one, that child has learned, the class has learned sharing. As far as the community is concerned, it also gave them an avenue for help. That child that was willing to give up that 5 points that did that well on the test is also now an avenue to go back and get study help from.
What do you think? You can head to our Facebook page, read the whole story. Just search Anna and Raven.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not pregnant.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the workday.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
That's right. You ever need life advice? You could always email my 10-year-old daughter, Hayden, at annaandraven.com. She has no qualifications to give this advice, but she's always got something to say for some reason.
When's the last time you really fact-checked one of those fancy diplomas or degrees that's hanging on the wall in your doctor's office? You don't know if they actually went there either. They could be truck drivers for all you know.
All right, Hayden, today's email comes from another Anna, and she writes, I need Hayden's advice. My coworker acts like my boss, even though I've been working at our school for 11 years and she's only been there 5 years. How do I handle this? Oh, it's tough when your coworker tries to act like your boss and tells you what to do. What do you think?
Well, I think that maybe you should go to like your local shop, buy some cookies that are pre-made, and then go home and arrange them onto a nice platter, wrap them in some saran wrap, like you made them, and then bring them to her. Mm. Give them to her and tell her, here's some nice cookies that are homemade, wink, wink. And then be like, I was thinking, you've been working here for 5 years, I've been working here for 11 years. And I don't like it how you're bossing me around. And then tell her to go do some spreadsheets.
Why do you have to bring store-bought cookies and lie and say that you made them?
Well, clearly you don't respect her enough to make her real cookies.
But why do you have to bring cookies at all?
Because it's the only way you're going to get her attention.
What if she just said, I was wondering if I could talk to you for a second?
Then it comes off too hard. You want to be very nice to her. Give her cookies.
Right.
Give her a hug like she's an old pal.
Oh, now you got to hug this lady, too. Is that fake, too? Did you fake the hug like you faked making the cookies?
Now you're being ridiculous.
Okay. And what if she's just a coworker and she says, I'm your boss, then that's not right either. And, you know, telling her to do spreadsheets.
Well, maybe you could cut out the spreadsheets part.
Whoa.
Mm.
Are there a lot of spreadsheet work in the school system?
I don't think so,
right? Teacher to teacher, right?
I think it's because my husband is constantly working on Excel spreadsheets.
Right.
That she just assumes that every job...
That's what work is.
That's what right. everybody does.
That's what work looks like, no matter if you're out in the regular world. I feel like they're telling them, we don't like to get those TPS reports, let it out, okay? I'm like, I know you've been watching a lot of Netflix. Was Office Space in there? But solid advice on the other stuff.
Oh, we really got to bring cookies to talk to a coworker you don't like? That's solid? You think that's
I don't
solid?
Like the way you're talking to me as if you're my boss. Go do some spreadsheets.
Here's some cookies.
If you need advice, email me, Hayden@annaandraven.com. That's Hayden@annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
I was so embarrassed. Embarrassed.
You were embarrassed enough that you texted me screenshots. So
I couldn't believe that I did it. Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. If you've ever texted somebody and you thought you were texting somebody else, it's an embarrassing thing where you're like, oh, sorry, that wasn't meant for you. But when you text something like this to almost a stranger, it's like heart stopping. You're like, when I realized it, I just was like, oh my gosh, I really did this.
And the funny thing
this.
Is, like, you respect this other person's talent. Like, it's not that you just don't know them all that intimately, but you respect their talent and so right. forth. And you know,
let's
so
just get to the story. Here's what happened. Here's the background. My daughter, my 15-month-old Dakota, has been sick for days. I've been dealing with that. Also, side note, Paul Herman is a dance owner of a dance place, you know, nearby. And he works with us every year. And he comes and we work with these inner city kids. And he comes and he talks about growing up in the Bronx and how he's like faced all these challenges.
Extremely successful. This is a guy. These guys, right. These guys have been all over the world working with some of the world's biggest stars. And they do this wonderful community outreach with us. It's a lot of fun.
So I'm at school pickup. Right. And I'm sitting in my car. And as always, I'm a multitasking mama. So I got 2 minutes before I got to get out of the car to pick up my daughter, Hayden, the older one. And I text Paul and I say, hey, Paul, it's Anna Zapp from the Anna and Raven show. We're scheduling our kids events. Would you be interested in coming to do something again in May?
Totally professional
yep.
Message. Right.
Yep.
You're putting out the feeler there. Haven't talked to him in a while. As you said, better than acquaintance, but not somebody that you talk to all the time.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So the message is out there.
And he doesn't respond right away. I put my phone away. I go pick up Hayden. We go home and Dakota's a mess. She's not doing well.
Feeling good at all.
So I pick up my phone and my husband's name also happens to be Paul. So I look at the last text and I go to text my husband, Paul, immediately and not paying attention that I'm texting this Paul.
Right.
World-renowned choreographer.
I mean, it's just like autocorrect when it totally screws you up. The phone just brings it up and there it is.
And here's what I text him. Dakota's in rough shape. She's had diarrhea twice since I've been home. And she screams in pain when she farts and poops. I think the rash is really painful for her.
I'm sorry to be laughing at a baby's pain, but...
When I wipe her, she screams in pain. It's so heartbreaking.
I'm sorry. It's your emotion.
Right.
You're desperate.
I'm desperate.
You're desperate.
And I want to tell my husband how bad our baby is.
This is why you need your person, your partner.
And I write, she's calm right now. And then, you know, I see the three dots.
Right. And so you're like, oh, all right, good. My husband is there for
me. Right. He's there
for me. He's ready to respond. We're going to get this done. And then Paul from the dance studio responds, can you email Gift of Dance? Yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to give the personal email right now. Talk to Vanessa. Then he responds, oh my, files it up. Did you take her to the doctor?
I still have no idea that I've texted the wrong person.
Right.
So I respond, well, her appointment for her 15 month is tomorrow. Figured I would just wait.
To which Paul responds, wrong Paul, okay.
And why okay. do I? And then he's like, okay. So I respond to that. And why do I need to email?
Right. Why is your husband making you work right now when you're talking about your small child?
Who is that? I text. And then it dawns on me what I've done. And I go, OMG! Exclamation point. My husband's name is Paul, too. And I thought I was texting him.
followed up by sorry.
Yep. And then he was just like, oh, LOL, it's okay. Vanessa coordinates our dates.
I mean, here's
the
thing.
What a nice guy that he asked, like, did you take her to the doctor?
I mean, he's nice. He asked if you take her to the doctor, but he didn't ask the outcome. I mean, what kind of human then responds with an email? Paul, find out if that baby is still farting explosively. Oh, all right? I mean, Paul, follow up.
She screams in pain when she farts and poops. Oh, my gosh. Imagine getting that text and being like, what am I supposed to say to this?
Well, that's when you deflect and definitely point them to email somebody else.
Oh. Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Alex and Carrie joining us together this morning. Alex, what's going on?
We have a problem with my son has gotten in trouble at school. They say that he's bullying other students, and we're a little taken aback. I personally think that this is just the stage. It's what all kids go through. My wife has different ideas on the whole subject.
Okay, Carrie, what's your side of this?
Our son, he's 9 years old. He's gotten into multiple fights with other students. The teacher has specifically told us he has behavioral issues and he's disruptive, which is mortifying. What have we done as parents? Like, what did we do wrong? And maybe we're enabling him. We've tried punishing. Nothing works. I think we should take him to a therapist. But Alex says that I'm overreacting and, like, this is what boys do. Like, he'll grow out of it. But I'd rather us take this seriously and have it end up being nothing than doing nothing and have it become a real issue later.
Alex, what's wrong with the conversation, right? I mean,
I think that, you know, taking him to a therapist is going to be stigmatizing. He might end up being the one who ends up getting bullied. It could just look bad all around.
I mean, but haven't we arrived at a place now where we know that talking about things is far better than that? I mean, first off, who's going to tell everybody at the school that he's going to therapy if you're not telling anybody? Is it true he's getting into these altercations? Is your son bullying people?
I think there's an overreaction there. I think he's probably the one getting bullied more, you know, but there are some behavioral problems. I'll give him that. You know, I think these teachers are overreacting, and he's a good kid. I don't think he needs to be stigmatized with therapy this early on in life.
Have you tried just regular disciplinary things, taking away video games and they can't go places and that sort of thing?
He doesn't listen to me anyway. Like, I'm not around a lot. I don't know. We've tried some things, but he hasn't responded well.
I mean, I understand life is busy, but that could be an indication of an issue right there. I hear what you're saying, and you don't convict a kid over a couple acts, especially when they're 9, 10 years old. They don't know what they're doing. On the other hand, tell that to the parents of or the crying child that's on the receiving end of this thing. So,
well, what we can do is ask our audience what they think. Alex, people may agree with you. They may say he's 9 years old. He's starting to put him in therapy when he should just be getting discipline. Carrie, you might be jumping the gun a little bit on it, but they may also see your side, Carrie, that maybe bringing in a third person to kind of facilitate and see what's going on might not be such a bad idea, even though he's only 9 years old. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
I do.
Absolutely.
Therapy, not a prison sentence, by the way. Honestly, the fact that people are ashamed about it is surprising to me. Been beneficial every time I took part. Ask my 7 therapists, Anna. The only people remaining on my Christmas card list. Call or text, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Alex and Carrie got a call from the school administration saying their 9-year-old son has been bullying other students. Carrie says, we got to nip this in the bud. Let's bring in a therapist. Alex says, no, boys will be boys. He's just being rough. He's going to grow out of it. Like, let's take a step back and relax for a minute.
He thinks there'll be a stigma attached to if they send their son to therapy right now, which I have a lot of questions about that position. But either way, the question is, do we move forward with a professional or do we handle this on our own with some sort of other discipline?
1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Good morning. I'm on the mother's side. As a teacher and a former kid that was bullied, let me tell you, it's very important that now that he's so young that they get on it before it gets worse. Because trust me, it's going to be a very difficult thing for him later in life. And also the kids that he's bullying, they're not going to ever forget his name. I applaud the mom for being on top of it.
You know, when I was young, I dealt with bullying at one point in my life. And then after that, I bullied for a minute. And I was lucky that I figured out, fortunately, still young, that that wasn't what I wanted to be. There's something about bullies that really drives me insane, Anna. And I even have a harsh reaction when it comes to kids, if I'm being honest. I say get the help right away.
Yeah, I think that there's certain steps you could probably take. I don't think you need to go immediately to a therapist, but I think you should talk to a guidance counselor. You should talk to the other parents. You should delve in a little bit more and see what's going on. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. It's that call that no parent wants, that your kid is being a bully at school when your kid is the bully. That's a call that Alex and Carrie got. Now, here's the thing. Alex says he's nine. Boys will be boys. He's going to grow out of it. We need to relax a little bit. But Carrie says, no, immediately into therapy.
I think responsible parents have to be involved one way or the other. No matter which side you're going to choose, whether you get a professional involved or not, you need to be in the conversation. You need to be talking with the other parents. You got to get in there. You can't just say it'll work itself out.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I am on the wife's side, and I am completely mortified that this father is willing to do nothing with his son's behavior, knowing that nowadays bullying has become a major issue in schools. I completely agree with the wife.
I think that the father, he's in the wrong here. He is enabling, but I don't think that he's doing it on purpose. He comes from a different time. He's uneducated on this situation.
Yes, yes and no. But to think, I'm getting so many text messages here saying that dad has a problem. Dad needs to make time. Dad.
Right.
But let's not be naive. There are a lot of fathers that say that. Boys are rough. Boys fight. Mm-hmm. Boys do this. Boys do that. There has to be some kind of medium. There has to be some kind of intervention. Saying he's going to grow out of it, I don't think is the right way either.
Right. Maybe dad grew out of it, but it was a different time, too.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Definitely with the wife on this one, because I really think that as a society, we need to destigmatize therapy.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. 100% agreed.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side. My daughter is bullied daily. I think the father is the problem. They need to nip it in the bud now.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Carrie, our audience agreed with you. Alex, bringing your son to someone that can give an outside view of what's going on and what the problems are, it can only be beneficial. It's not labeling him. None of that. No one believed that. So will you agree to at least give it a try?
Yeah. Well, I'll give it a shot. Anything that'll help, you know, I just want the kid to grow up and, you know, be happy and successful. So if it helps, it helps. I'll go along with it.
You know, the main thing is it's not like they got to go, you know, walk him into an office nowadays with a big leather couch and he's going to lean back and tell me about your parents. I mean, this could be somebody at your church, somebody with one of the sports teams. You know, there's all sorts of different people that are certified to help at this point. So, you know, just getting kind of the root of how they feel typically is going to be better.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about it that way. I think you're probably right. I think I do have a kind of antiquated idea in my head of the situation, maybe.
Right. That you think about your 9-year-old lying on a couch for like a psychiatrist. Yeah.
Shock therapy.
Yeah.
Carrie, you must feel better about this.
I do. And Alex, I know you're still going to be hesitant about this, but I think it's absolutely fine that we don't have to share that with his teacher or his other classmates if that's something you're worried about. Just try it and go from there.
Got a problem too? Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com. What do you do when your son is accused of being a bully and you believe in your heart he is, but your husband is not on board? Santa and Raven joining us. Dr. Laura Berman, she's our relationship expert. You could hear her here every weeknight on Cover to Dr. Laura Berman. Happened this morning on the Couples Court. He's disruptive in class. Teacher says that he has behavioral issues. Now, the mom is mortified. She feels guilty. What did I do wrong? How can I fix this? Maybe therapists, maybe taking him out of a school and putting him in a private school. But dad says she's overreacting, and that's just what 9-year-old boys do. But even the threats, taking away video games, nothing works. What do you do in this situation?
Look, you want to listen to the school. You got to take it with a grain of salt, right? But you don't want to be one of those parents that refuses to acknowledge the input of the professionals that are with your kid 8 hours a day in a setting away from home where they're supposed to be learning. And the father is also right that, you know, as a mom of three boys, I can tell you from personal experience, you know, 9-year-old, school is not set up for 9-year-old boys, right? Who cannot sit in a chair for more than 5 seconds, who are all by nature not diagnosed this way, but have these ADD qualities for a while. I mean, I think it lasts until they're in 10th grade. Then I see a transition in all of them. But it's a lot. And school is not set up for it. But the teachers also know what's in the range of normal for a 9-year-old boy and what's really being disruptive. I would listen to the teacher to the extent, not that you have to immediately take him out of the school or put him in a special school, but if nothing is really working, to me that says something else is going on. And the one thing that I would highly recommend you do when you start getting this feedback from your parents is do a neuropsychological evaluation on your child. That means you take them to a specialist, and the school counselor can sometimes even do it for you. you an abbreviated version or refer you to a professional. Most of them take insurance, who will spend maybe a total of 6 hours with your kids over several days and do all sorts of puzzles and evaluations on them. And then by the end of it, it has changed my children's lives. All three boys ended up having to do this. And it was so instructive because you learn, oh yeah, his intelligence is really high, but his processing speed is really low and he needs more time on tests, or he isn't good at audio processing, but really good at visual processing. So he's going to need to see graphs and charts rather than just listen to a teacher talk. And the schools have to support that, especially the public schools. So if he's really struggling and you're getting these reported problems, that would be my first stop, is to find out early.
Where do the parents go if they want to learn how to do that? Where should they start? They should talk
to the school counselor, tell them, you know, what's going on with the kid and what the teacher is reporting, and ask if maybe the counselor can help either doing an abbreviated neuropsych evaluation to see if there's some issues of attention, slow processing speed or learning issues, and or refer you to a specialist who can do a full evaluation. Because what I like to do is the school counselors or the learning specialists at the school will often be able to do an abbreviated version that'll show you some red flags if they're there. And then if the red flags are there, then you can take them to a specialist.
All right. Always good advice. Dr. Laura Berman, you can call her yourself if you need anything. 855-5-UNCOVER.
Can't beat Raven.
Beat Raven in pop culture trivia, and you win. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Michael.
Hey, Michael. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, man.
All right, Michael. Raven is walking out of the studio. When that studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I invite him back in, and I ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, we give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready to play?
I am ready.
Number 1, Kelly Clarkson is returning for a 3rd time to host the Billboard Music Awards. What season of American Idol did she win?
The first.
Number 2, Christian Louboutin believes that heels are a form of liberty and doesn't take comfort into consideration when designing them. What color are the soles of Louboutins?
Red.
Number 3, Oprah admitted that she had a one-night stand, but she has never gone skinny dipping. What 2007 romantic comedy starring Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl was about a one-night stand?
Knocked Up.
Number 4, Apple won't let bad guys use iPhones in movies. According to Wikipedia, Hannibal Lecter is the number 1 villain of all time. What actor played Hannibal Lecter?
Anthony Hopkins.
And number 5, Nick Jonas, Miley Cyrus, and Sandra Bullock have all admitted to being afraid of flying. What airline has the slogan, "Keep climbing, the world's most trusted airline, and we love to fly," and it shows?
American Airlines?
Not bad, Michael. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven? Oh, my water bottle. Where'd you find it?
Henry just brought it to me.
Oh, that's nice. All right, Michael got 4 out of 5.
All right, Mike, not too bad. Sounds pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Okay. Number 1, Kelly Clarkson is returning for a 3rd time to host the Billboard Music Awards. What season of American Idol did she win?
Number 1.
Yep, she's the original gangsta American Idol winner.
Arguably the best. Her and Carrie Underwood the best. And Daughtry.
Daughtry didn't win. Yep.
Jennifer Hudson.
They were all great.
She didn't win either, but yeah, there's been some fantastic ones. You know, there's been some people that were rejected there, too, that have gone on to big things.
Number 2, Christian Louboutin believes that heels are a form of liberty and doesn't take comfort into consideration when designing them.
Of course not. No kidding.
Yeah. No kidding.
Beauty is pain.
Oh, my gosh. I can't bring myself to ever pay that much amount of money for shoes that I can't literally wear out the door. What color are the soles of Louboutins?
Aren't they red? Blood red.
Yep. And number 3, Oprah admitted that she had a one-night stand but has never gone skinny dipping, she says. What 2007 romantic comedy starring Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl was about a one-night stand?
Knocked Up.
You guys are quick today. Number 4, Apple won't let bad guys use iPhones in movies. According to Wikipedia, Hannibal Lecter is the number 1 villain of all time. What actor played Hannibal Lecter?
Anthony Hopkins, of course.
Yeah, you guys
most
are
memorably.
Tired. You guys are tied at 4. You need this last one to beat Michael. Nick Jonas, Miley Cyrus, and Sandra Bullock have all admitted that they are afraid to fly.
Okay.
What airline has had the slogans, "Keep climbing, the world's most trusted airline, and we love to fly, and it shows"?
We love to fly, and it shows as Delta.
Yes.
Woo!
Yeah, that's an older one, though. They just are. They filed to have it changed the world's most trusted airline, which I actually like better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Delta does a good job. Very well reviewed. The best reviewed major carrier, I think, as a matter
of fact.
I feel
like they're always the most expensive, too.
Well, you know, you get what you pay for.
I'm sorry, Michael. He beat you 5-4 this morning, but you're still going to get an Anna and Raven t-shirt, okay?
Sounds great to me. This is Michael, and I can't be Raven.
Well, thank you for trying. Hold on the line, Michael.
Better luck next time.
We'll have another shot for you to get the cheat sheet. The first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today. All this week, learning more about jobs we're fascinated by. It's Anna and Raven. Erica Elson is a published author now, but at one time, she was a telemarketer. It's one of those interesting situations where we're calling you and you're not calling us.
Yep.
Being a telemarketer, like, how did you decide, like, that's what you were going to do?
Being a telemarketer, definitely not something you grow up wanting to do. It was a side job that I was doing because I'm a writer, and it allowed me to have sort of flexibility to schedule to doing a part-time job that paid a little bit more than your typical coffee shop type gig.
I was a telemarketer once in high school. I had to do that for the Masonic Hospital or home or whatever, and we would promise some carnival tickets. It was misery.
Erica, what did you sell? What did you try to get people to buy?
Subscriptions to the Philharmonic Orchestra and the opera.
And did people actually buy them?
You know, they did. There was a market. Like, we were calling people who had attended at least once or maybe had a friend who bought them tickets. And so they're usually at least interested in hearing what I had to say, even though some people did hang up as soon as they realized it was the sales call.
Did that give you more satisfaction? Did you act like you didn't remember which number hung up and then sometimes call that back? Because I would do that.
We did have a policy where until someone told us, please take me off the list, we couldn't actually take them off the list.
Right.
So unfortunately what happened when someone hung up was they just went back into the pool. Policy for anyone who uses actual people to telemarket versus right. like robocalls.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has a human on the line, those are the magic words if you don't want to get called again.
Do your feelings get hurt when people hang up on you and yell at you?
No. 95% of the time people just don't answer or just hang up, so you get used to it real quick.
This week it's jobs we're fascinated by. Erica Elson is a past telemarketer and now a published author.
So how much do they pay you, if you don't mind me asking, to actually
it's
do
usually
that?
Minimum plus a commission, right? Isn't it something like that?
Yeah. So I was pretty lucky because not everyone does pay a minimum. Some people only do commission. But I believe minimum wage at the time was $9.50, which is what we were getting as a base salary. And then we would get 4% commission.
4% seems pretty low for the amount of work you got to put
Except
into that.
Except when you start ringing up those old ladies, right? You send them to 5 shows. All right? You're going to 5 opera shows. It's going to be great.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, once you get someone who's interested, you got to try to hook them. Because it's so rare to get that person on the line that once you have the person, you can't just give them up for like $100. Sale.
Did you ever curse at people, like when they were giving you like, attitudes?
Oh, no, of course not.
Oh, no?
That's
no.
a big no-no.
No, you can't do that. I mean, sometimes I would feel slightly broken. Well, there's nothing like getting all the way through your pitch, and then they reject the thing. Oh, that's the worst.
If somebody asks you, like, what is the number one rule as a telemarketer that you have, what would it be?
You always have to open with something engaging, try to draw the customer in. So you have a whole list of things of, like, how you can bring that person in, and I ended up customizing it. But I would always start by saying, hey, can I tell you a little bit about what we're doing at the opera this year? You know, no pressure. Can I just run you through the shows? And usually, if they made it through the end of the pitch, they'd be like, oh, wow, a young person who likes music, sure, I'll support that.
What's the number one thing as a telemarketer that we would find surprising?
That a lot of people just like to talk to someone on the phone. You think that people are just going to hate you, but a lot of people are lonely, and they're just like, oh, well, how are you doing today? I definitely got to know some people who had, like, heartbreak or whose kids live far away and they're lonely.
Did anybody ever fall in love with you?
I was going to say, anybody in your office fall in love, a telemarketing connection?
No. Thankfully, no one fell in love with me over the phone, but someone did tell me that they were buying tickets to an opera because the opera was named after someone that they were in love with for many years who had recently gotten married, and they were going to use this opportunity to go out and try and meet someone else.
I see you on the phone going, what a great idea. That's a healthy way to deal with this. And all you're thinking is, give me the credit card number. I'm done, lady.
Erica Elson, she used to be a telemarketer, and now you're a published author. You've actually written books about being a telemarketer, right?
I have. I've written a book called The Awkward Human Survival Guide, which deals with many different awkward situations one might encounter in life. And one of them is working in this kind of situation.
If you'd like to check out that book, head to Amazon.com.